If it's God, it's going to come to pass. No demon in hell and no person on earth is going to be able to stop what God has for you. So you don't have to panic. You don't have to blog about it. You don't have to tweet about it. You don't have to send out your bio. You don't have to build a platform. You don't have to tell everybody. If you know and God knows, then you just get about the Father's business and you watch God make a way where there is no way, and He'll make it come to pass. Okay, so let's be real. Have you ever scrolled through social media, saw an event going on that you weren't invited to, and just totally let it ruin your day? It's tempting to see what's going on all around us and get our eyes off where we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe it's time to get our eyes off the social media feed and onto our God-given assignments. I'm Christine Kane, and I have a personal mission to equip and empower people like you to connect with your God-given purpose and potential. I'm so glad you're joining us today. Let's get started. Hey everyone, I am so glad that you've joined us again. I'm loving this series on being developed and not discovered. And of course, we're focusing around the life of King David, who was anointed in 1 Samuel 16 to be the king of Israel. But he was not appointed until 2 Samuel chapter 5. 20 years, 20 chapters, a lot happened. And I was just thinking to myself, as we got ready for this week, that I am really grateful that once Samuel anointed David to be king, I'm so glad that David didn't take a selfie while the oil was coming on him, and he didn't like upload it and put hashtag King of Israel. I mean, it would have been like a bit of a loser, because it would have taken 20 years later before that came to pass. Sometimes some of us, we get a glimpse of what God wants and we think we need to hashtag and put it straight up on social media. Maybe we need to pause and we need to wait before we start telling everyone else what God has told us. There are some things that you can just ponder and you can keep to yourselves. I speak a lot. We know that. That's what I do. I do that for a living. I talk a lot and I talk every day, but I wouldn't even tell you 10% of what God tells me. Some of these things that even now as I'm talking on television, I've been sitting on for 10 and 15 and a particular message in this series I've been sitting on for 20 years. I got my notes out from 1997 and I pulled them out to prepare for something that I was speaking in 2017. And so a lot of times we just quickly put things out there prematurely. And then what we do is we expose ourselves to people going, well, that isn't true. Imagine if David did that. He would have had 20 years of people saying, you're a loser. What do you mean you're a king? You're running around and you're hiding in the wilderness. Who do you think you are, thinking you're a king? And what you do is you save yourself a lot of persecution. If you don't just go talking about everything that you think that the Lord has told you to do, as I have discovered, 31 years of following Jesus, if it's God, it's going to come to pass. No demon in hell and no person on earth is going to be able to stop what God has for you. So you don't have to panic. You don't have to blog about it. You don't have to tweet about it. You don't have to send out your bio. You don't have to build a platform. You don't have to tell everybody. If you know and God knows, then you just get about the Father's business and you watch God make a way where there is no way, and He'll make it come to pass. Now, what do we learn? We read all of 1 Samuel 16. When Samuel came to anoint King David. And the thing that I found interesting in this, the Bible says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn, I will send you to Jesse, for I have provided for myself. And in verse 8 to 10, when all of the brothers were coming before the prophet, the Bible says in verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. In verse 9, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And so what we see here, and this is what I need you to understand, is that God chooses. God chooses. It doesn't matter who you try to put in a place. If God hasn't put them in that place, it's not going to come to pass. The Lord said to Samuel from the outset, I've chosen for myself. Now, what happens to a lot of us is we try to do all the choosing ourselves, and we get really frustrated when we decide, I choose that I want to be this, rather than saying, God, what have you chosen for me to be. I think a lot of people are frustrated in Christianity because they're trying to run their race in somebody else's lane. Because they have seen something that they like and they've chosen it. Just because you've chosen it doesn't mean God's chosen it. God, I didn't choose to put myself here. I didn't choose to start A21. I didn't choose to start Propel. It's not that I woke up and went, gee, this is going to be a good idea. And knowing all the work that it takes, I definitely would not have decided that that's what it would have happened. But the point is, God chose. And so if God chose, that takes all the pressure off me. Because I'm not looking over my shoulder. People going, you know, you're looking at the... I'm like, no, I didn't put myself here, so I don't have to try to keep myself here. God put me here, so that is what I'm going to do. So the point is that God chooses. And I think in our day of, you know, what's your dream and what's your plan and what's your desire, I'm watching a whole bunch of people that are out there just doing what is in their own heart without asking, is this God's heart? And I'm not saying they don't always go together, because often God gifts us and He gives us gifts and He gives us talents and He gives us desires that are in alignment with our future and with our destiny. But a lot of people are highly frustrated because they're trying to do something that they were never anointed to do, and nothing, and something that God never called them to do. Just because you like it and just because you wish you could do it doesn't mean God has asked you to do it. And my thing is that God is not obligated to pay for something that He never started. And God is not obligated to sustain what He never started. And you'll quickly know if it's God or if it's you. If I had to stop and think about my life and A21 and Propel and Equip and Empower, if I had to stop and think about how I would make this work in the natural, how we would resource the ministry, how I would be able to do all that we do in 12 different countries, I would have a nervous breakdown. There is no way that it is possible to happen. That's how I know that God makes it happen, because I really don't stress about it. I put my head on the pillow at night and I sleep all the way through. And I get up and I trust the people that God has put around us, and I'm not sitting here thinking about it, anxious about it, or worried about it. And that's how I know that God has enabled me to do that. That God has chosen me to do what He's done. That doesn't mean I don't work hard. You can ask anybody that works with me. I doubt that there's many that would work harder. I'm so committed to working hard, but working and striving are two very different things. You can work from a place of rest. And in fact, in the book of Hebrews, we're told to labor to enter into that place of rest. And so I do what I do from a place of rest. And I'm a very goal-oriented person. I love to achieve things. You know, some people, they just like to sit and on a rock. You know, I'm like, awesome, sit on the rock on the way to changing the world. You know, I've just got to kind of do it all. I love to do that. But my point is that you have to understand that the greatest thing you can do in your life is the thing that God has chosen you to do. And I truly believe that He's got something for you to do. And a lot of your frustration would go away if you stop trying to do what you're not called to do and you do what God has called you to do. You would find such an ease and such a joy in doing that. The thing that I've also discovered in this text is that you might not even get invited to your own party. Now, do you know the prophet Samuel was coming to anoint the next king, he was having, the Bible says, a sacrifice festivity party. Now, Jesse was invited to the party. All of the sons, the seven sons of Jesse, all except the eighth one, David, were invited to the party. Now, I'm glad that David wasn't sitting on the side of the mountain with the sheep and his harp, and that he wasn't scrolling through Instagram looking at hashtag sacrifice festivities. Because if he did, he would have been really frustrated, because he would have seen his brothers at the party. He would have seen his... How often have you been sitting and you go, I'm the only one not invited to this party? And a lot of us, we get so distressed, we get so anxious. How much sleep have we lost? How many things have we written in our journal? Because instead of doing the thing that we are called to do, we're busy looking at what we're not invited to. And when you're busy at looking at what you're not invited to, and you're not doing what you're called to do, you are only going to live in frustration. That whole FOMO is real. And everyone has this great fear of missing out. But what we're doing is, not only are we missing out from what we think we haven't been invited to, but we're also missing out from doing what God has called us to do. I bet you David was really glad there was no social media. because he couldn't be scrolling through anything. He was doing what he'd always done. He was singing, "How great thou art," to the sheep or whatever, oceans, you know, whatever it might be. He was singing. He was busy killing a lion, killing a bear, loving the sheep. He was busy being faithful in his God assignment, so that when God wanted to find him, he'd already assigned him to the side of the mountain. He knew where to find him. A lot of us, we are bought the position where God has assigned us, so when he comes to find us, we're not there anymore because we got frustrated and we went to the next place. Imagine when he said, "Go out and get the son." If David goes, "I don't want to look after the sheep anymore. Man, this job, it's got no perks. It's not in the limelight. Nobody knows what I go through with these sheep. I'm going to go and do something else that I want to do." So then when they went out to look for him, he wouldn't have been in his place. I wonder how often God has sent people out to look for us, but we had left our place of assignment because it wasn't glamorous enough. And we went looking for something else. And God went to the last place that he sent us. He's not chasing us where we are. And so in this case, here he is. And he's not scrolling, but he's not invited to his party. And everyone else is being paraded before the prophet. Jesse's seven sons. I mean, how would you feel if your own father didn't acknowledge you? How would you feel if you were not even invited to your own party? You go, "Chris, what do you mean this is his own party?" Because this was the party where they were anointing the future king of Israel. That was David. See, there are so many places and you think, "I'm left out of this meeting. I haven't been invited to this table. I wasn't invited to this party." You feel like you've been overlooked, and the whole thing is actually for you. It's just nobody knows it yet, but God does. But I want to remind you, I love it, because when all of the brothers had been paraded in front of Samuel, and he's going, "No, God didn't choose him. No, he's not the one. God didn't choose him." The fact that David, one of the great giants in all of Scripture, appears in the Word of God as the youngest. The youngest. But then when Samuel was ready to get him, he said, "Well, you better go get him. And we're not sitting down till he comes back. We're not sitting down, we're not taking a seat until he comes back." I thought that was interesting that that was in the Bible. We're not sitting down. I mean, how awkward. Like, I don't know, how far was it? Like, a minute? 5 hours? I don't know. Like, awesome, awkward. Everyone's looking around. "Can I go to the restroom?" "No, Stan." You just, "No, no." You're just like, "This is it." But here's what I've learned. That when God's ready to find you, it doesn't matter if you're invited into that room or into that table or into that position or into that ministry. Oh no, God will send out the very ones that tried to keep you out to bring you in to the place where you are meant to be. You never have to go chasing in God. Never. Never. So many people are like, "How am I going to get this promotion? How am I going to get this opportunity? They're not even going to get to see it. I'm here in anonymity and obscurity." And God says, "I've got your back. I've got your back."
God has an awesome plan for your life. Yet, as His plan unfolds, there will be obstacles, trials, and disappointments that will try to distract you and stop you from reaching your destiny. To help you press on in faith, TBN wants to send you Christine Kane's new DVD series, Developed, Not Discovered, in appreciation for your gift of support. With it, you'll gain a greater revelation of how God can use the difficult moments of your life to develop, strengthen, and propel you into your destiny. Take a moment to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/developed to share a gift and request your copy of Developed, Not Discovered. Your support makes you a media missionary, helping TBN take the hope and grace of the gospel to longing souls all around the world. Step into your destiny and be blessed as you bless others. Call, click, or write today.
There is a link between seeing and thinking. He saw someone that was very much like Saul. Eliab was the oldest son. Eliab was head and shoulders above the rest, just like Saul. Very good looking, very tall, very strong. And so what happened was the prophet was in the right house, but he saw the wrong thing. You can even have the prophet in the house and he won't see the right thing. You can even have the father of the house miss the right thing. Some of you, you think the father of the house has not recognized the anointing or the gifting on my life. Some of you think the prophet has not recognized what's going on. I'm here to tell you that your father can miss it, the prophet can miss it, but God will never miss it. If God has assigned you, God will find you and it will happen. And so what happened is the prophet is in the right house. He's seeing the wrong thing. And so what happened is he saw Eliab. And when he saw Eliab, what he was really seeing was Saul. And he said, surely this has to be the Lord's anointed. So what he was seeing was the next Saul. But God had not anointed the next Saul. The Lord said to Samuel in chapter 16, verse 1, I want you to rise up and go to the house of Jesse. I have anointed for myself a new king. He was looking for the next Saul, but God was doing a new thing in a new king. And sometimes we miss the new thing that God is doing now because we're looking for the same old thing in a younger body. And so what he was looking for was the same old thing that King Saul was, but in a younger body, which was the body of Eliab. And sometimes you miss the move of God and you miss what God is doing in your midst because you're looking for the same old thing in a younger body. And God says, I'm not doing the same old thing. I'm doing a new thing. And so oftentimes you can miss the move of God. You can miss what's happening in your realm of influence because God's not doing what he was doing in the way that he was doing it. He's doing a new thing in a new way. Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And we need to open up our eyes and go, I am not looking for the new version of Saul, which is just the new version of the same old thing. No. I'm looking for the new thing. I come into work and I look into the future for our ministry. I'm not looking for how it's been done before. I'm going, what's the new thing? What's the new thing? What is it that we want to do with Women in Propel? What is the new thing? I'm not trying to see the same old thing. And so many of us are missing what God has for us because we're walking into the right place, but we're looking at the wrong thing. Some of you, even pastors watching this, you're missing the next king in your house because you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for a certain celebrity. You're looking for the same old thing that you had in a younger body. And there's a king in your house and you have overlooked it because you're looking at the outside and not on the inside. There are so many, there's a king in your child. So many of you are missing the gold that is in your children because you're looking at their external, how they're acting, how they're behaving, what they're doing, and you're missing what God is doing on the inside. We need to go beyond outward appearance into the inside because the Lord said, I don't look in the same way that anybody else looks. I look at the heart. Man looks at the outside appearance. I remember when I gave birth to Sophia and I birthed her on January the 10th and about 8 weeks later, March the 10th, I was speaking at our women's conference in Sydney, Australia, our Colour Your World Women's Conference. Just a brilliant conference. Well, it was in this 17,000 seat arena, the largest indoor stadium in Australia, and I was doing the closing night. And I remember that I had just had Sophia and I was really conscious because I didn't want to turn up 8 weeks later to the conference and have all the ladies go, you know, Christine, have you had the baby yet? You know, I just was thinking, I want to get my pre-pregnancy body back. So I got a trainer and I'm working out and some people are saying to me, you know, like, Christine, that's so carnal. You know, God looks at the heart. What are you worried about? And I said, yes, I know. I know that God looks at the heart, but 17,000 women are looking at my shoes and my body. They are not looking at my heart. Only God looks at the heart. But if we are going to be discerning in the day and in the hour in which we live, then we have to make sure that we are not overlooking God's candidate while we're looking for the worldly best candidate. Because in our midst, God is doing amazing things. But often we can miss it. While we're looking for glamorous, we're missing God. Make sure that we stay focused. And the fact is, God looks at our heart because the heart is the control center of our life. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27, Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all of the issues of life. See, so many times we think all of the issues flow out of my bank account or who I'm connected to or what kind of promotion or position or title I have. But Scripture teaches us that it is out of the abundance of the heart that every issue of life comes. Socially, emotionally, relationally, mentally, physically. It all stems from the human heart. So how's your heart today? Is your heart, what's your heart full of? Because whatever it's full of, it's going to come out of you. Is your heart full of life? Is your heart flourishing? Are you full of joy? Are you full of peace? Or are you full of anger? Are you full of disappointment? Are you full of discouragement? Are you full of bitterness? Are you full of unforgiveness? Are you full of lust? Are you full of greed? Whatever your heart is full of, it's going to pump it to the rest of your body. Just like our natural heart. You know, I recently went, they put all those little things on you, very cold, and all the gel, and then they measure your heart. How's it all going? And I love it when they say, Mrs. Kane, you have the heart of a woman half your age. I'm like, awesome. And so, but the point is, because if there's a blockage in your heart, it's going to cause your whole body to absolutely stop functioning. If there's a toxic thing in your heart, it's going to be pumped into the rest of your body. Your heart pumps blood to the rest of your body. So if it's blocked and it's not pumping like it should be, you're not going to function like you should. If there is something toxic in it, then it is going to be pumped all the way through your body. Well, it's the same with our spiritual heart. If your spiritual heart is blocked with anger or bitterness or unforgiveness or shame or guilt or condemnation or immorality or put in a number of different things, then your heart, your spiritual heart is not pumping the life of God, the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you through your life to be able to touch a broken world around you. Our heart is critical. That's why the Lord says, I'm not looking at the outside, I'm looking at the condition of your heart. When I'm looking to promote someone at work or I'm looking for someone to oversee a new responsibility, I'm not just looking at their skill set. The skill set is the beginning. But let me just tell you, your heart is what will take you to your destiny. It is a person's heart that will actually take them to their purpose. So how is your heart? I had a lot of gift and talent, but when I was full of shame and guilt, from 12 years of abuse, from brokenness. Well, I'm telling you, my heart was full of unforgiveness. My heart was full of shame. My heart was full of anger. It didn't matter how gifted I was. I kept self-sabotaging because my heart was not right. So a lot of us, we go so far and then we wonder why we have not fulfilled all of our destiny or why we haven't gone further than we think we should. And we keep trying to think, well, I'll just get more skills. If I just know more people, if I just have more resources. And God says, no, your external progress is going to be made based on your internal progress. How deep will you allow God to go into your heart to take out the blockages, to bring healing, to get rid of the toxicity so that the life and the hope and the joy and the peace of God can flow through you. When it flows through you, it'll flow in the world around you and you will make progress in the destiny that God has for you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I believe you're on the way to your destiny today and that God is preparing you for what He has prepared for you. But destiny is not a sprint. It's a process where you're developed and I want to help you on the journey. So with your gift to TBN today, Matt, Laurie, and I want to send you my teaching series, Developed, Not Discovered. These teachings are going to encourage you and give you practical keys to reaching your destiny. But even more, your gift will have a lasting impact for others. Your support will reach millions through TBN. Call or go online, give your best, and request Developed, Not Discovered today.
God has an awesome plan for your life. Yet, as His plan unfolds, there will be obstacles, trials, and disappointments that will try to distract you and stop you from reaching your destiny. To help you press on in faith, TBN wants to send you Christine Kane's new DVD series, Developed, Not Discovered, in appreciation for your gifts of support. With it, you'll gain a greater revelation of how God can use the difficult moments of your life to develop, strengthen, and propel you into your destiny. Take a moment to call 800-350-5170 or go securely online to tbn.org/developed to share a gift and request your copy of Developed, Not Discovered. Your support makes you a media missionary, helping TBN take the hope and grace of the gospel to longing souls all around the world. Step into your destiny and be blessed as you bless others. Call, click, or write today.
Maybe it feels like you've been in the dark room for a long time now, but I assure you, God knows what He's doing. It's not about how long you're in the season. It's about the process of the season. It's about allowing Him to work on the gifts, anointing, and character that need to be developed in you. So do a heart check today and ask, am I wasting my time in this place, prolonging the process, or am I allowing God to do His full color work in me? The process is worth it. I know. I'll see you next time right here.